The reading is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 29. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside, sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. This is where we began 13 sermons ago. Jesus sitting down on a hillside, beginning to teach his disciples. And now we come to the end where Matthew writes, when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. Jesus has offered his disciples, in the words of his sermon, a vision of what the kingdom of God can be like. These were aspirational words to inspire his disciples as to who they could be on their best days, who they will be if they continually follow him, faithfully follow him, until they experience life when the kingdom fully comes. Jesus has offered a picture of life in all its fullness to his disciples. And here at the end of his sermon, he presents them with a choice. In four warnings as to what it will mean for his disciples if they choose not to put into practice the kind of life he describes, we find that choice. Because following Jesus is always a choice. When Jesus called fishermen from their nets, tax collectors from their booths,
They could have chosen to remain where they were. There are accounts in the Gospels of Jesus offering the call to follow him to those who were unable to say yes for a variety of reasons: their riches, family commitments, lack of courage. It is a choice to follow Jesus. And here in four short sketches, four parables, four similitudes, however you want to describe them, all four of which make the similar point, Jesus shows what the consequences of choosing or not choosing a Sermon on the Mount kind of life might look like. Jesus begins with gates. Enter through the narrow gates. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Which do you choose to go through? The wide gate or the narrow gate? Jesus uses this everyday image to present the choice to his disciples as the kind of life that what it means to follow him. What it means to live a Sermon on the Mount kind of life. The metaphor for two paths through life was a common one in Judaism. But in Jewish teaching, it was said that the wide path led to blessing, and the narrow path led to life's hardship. Jesus, though, turns things around and instead focuses on the access point, and he says it's the narrow path that leads to blessing, and it's the wide path that leads to destruction. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." And follows this by saying, "Those who enter through the gate may have life and have it to the full." The wide gate is inviting. The wide path seems welcoming. They offer plenty of room for us carrying the baggage of life: religious traditions, money and possessions, self-righteousness and sin. It's easy to get through the wide gate with all of that on your back. You don't have to leave anything behind to travel on the wide path of life. The road may be easy, but Jesus says that the destination is destruction. However, if you're traveling by the narrow gate, you'll need to shed your burdens in order to pass through. Space is limited, it's a tight fit. Anything other than you trying to pass through the narrow gate, and you're not going to fit through it. To live a Sermon on the Mount kind of life is going to be difficult. You're going to need to shed your burdens. You're going to need to give up your reliance on religious traditions. You're going to need to give up finding your identity in money and possessions. And most of all, you're going to need to give up your sin and rebellion in order to pass through the narrow gate. To enter through the narrow gate, you need to be unburdened by Jesus. And Jesus is the narrow gate which we need to pass through to respond, to enter into the kingdom of God. The easy path, the wide one, looks inviting. But the destination that the wide path leads to is not one you really want to end up at. In Jerusalem, there was a gate to the city rubbish dump, Gehenna. And Gehenna is the word that Jesus often uses when he talks about destruction or hell. The rubbish dump. That's where the wide path leads. I'm not sure that's where you really want to go. Certainly not on holiday. Or for eternity. The choice is to follow Jesus and seek to live the Sermon on the Mount kind of life. And it will involve navigating the narrow road. But in the end, it will lead you to life in all its fullness. Jesus then moves on to the second illustration, warning his disciples to watch out for false prophets. False prophets are those who attempt to lead God's people away from God's ways, despite saying they're speaking for God. False prophets are dangerous because they look like the real thing. They are wolves in sheep's clothing, a natural predator dressed up as prey. Yes, Jesus has said in the sermon that that his disciples are not to be hypocritical in their judging of others. But he's also said his followers cannot be naive in their judgment. False prophets may seem to be fellow members of God's flock, but they're not. And you can tell they're not. Because just like a tree, you can tell the type of prophet by the fruit that they produce. You can tell the type of prophet by the words that they share and the kind of life that they live. False prophets will share words that will lead you away from Jesus. Jesus calls his disciples to discern very carefully any who come into their community and say their message is from God. Weigh their words and their actions. If what they are saying leads you away from following Jesus, don't listen. Where we have to be careful with this today is the cacophony of voices we hear online. Those who claim to be speaking for Jesus, yet the fruit of their lives doesn't reflect the kingdom of God. We need to be discerning in picking out the bad fruit and recognizing the good. Grapes and figs were a staple part of the Jewish diet, and thorn bushes and thistles were common weeds, as they are here. And Jesus' disciples then should have been able to tell the difference between true and false prophets just as easily as they knew thorn bushes and thistles don't produce grapes and figs. Without the transforming power of God's Spirit in a prophet's life, their fruit will not be of God's kingdom. A tree only produces the fruit that's consistent with its nature. Not only will false prophets try and enter the kingdom of Jesus' disciples, there will also be false disciples that seek to enter fellowship as well. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Someone who's called Jesus Lord, but whom Jesus knows hasn't truly chosen to follow him, isn't living a Sermon on the Mount kind of life. This is the kind of false disciple Jesus is talking about. They say to Jesus, Lord, out of respect, but they're not truly acknowledging Jesus is Lord of their lives. When Paul writes that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, this is what he's meaning as well. It's about saying the words and really meaning that Jesus is Lord. A false disciple is someone who can say Jesus is Lord with their mouth, but it fails to reflect the state of their heart. They've said some of the right things. They might have even been baptized, but nothing is different at the core of their lives. The work of renewal through God's Spirit is absent. Jesus says these false disciples may point to the things that they do, prophesying, performing miracles, exorcisms. They can do the things that make them seem like they're part of God's community. They've got the t-shirt, but they don't belong. And it's easy for all of us to go through the motions in the Christian life if we've been around the block a few times. We can say the right things. We can look like we're singing and praying with conviction. We can fill up slots on the rotas. We can attend meetings. We can share in communion. We can look like Jesus is Lord of our lives. We may look the part, but Jesus knows our hearts. He knows when we're putting on an act. And he says his disciples should be able to recognize this as well. When you see that self-righteousness is more evident in someone than the fruit of the Spirit, be wary. When someone's character doesn't match their outward displays of piety, be wary. When people say they want the best for the church, but actually all they want is the best for themselves, be wary. Jesus never looks to that which is external being the true sign of authentic faith. It is our inward allegiance to Jesus as Lord that results in the fruit of a changed life that Jesus will honour. And without that, we run the risk of Jesus saying, "I never knew you." This is the kind of life that the Sermon on the Mount points towards. Then finally, we have the wise man who built his house upon the rock, and when the rain came down, it stood firm. And the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and when the rain came down, it fell with a splat. The wise man is like everyone who hears Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount and puts them into practice. Not just some of the words, but all of the words. The foolish man, however, is like one of Jesus' disciples who ignores Jesus' words and carries on as before. Jesus is saying people need to make a choice. A choice between following him and not following him. Jesus says, if you follow me, you can live in the kingdom of God. Live life with a firm foundation to it. Jesus says, if you choose not to follow me, you will not live in the kingdom of God, and your life will be built upon shaky foundations. Jesus is drawing a dividing line between the foundations we built our lives upon. Jesus was saying these words in the vicinity of Lake Galilee, and the shore of Lake Galilee was composed of alluvial sand, which forms a hard surface in the hot summer months. However, a wise builder would not be fooled by such seasonal surface conditions. They would dig down over 3 meters through the sand to the bedrock and establish a foundation for building. Therefore, when the winter rains came and the increased flow into the River Jordan pours into Lake Galilee, the level of the water rises. The houses built upon the sand would be washed away. Those who had their foundations down onto the bedrock would be able to withstand the floods. Jesus' disciples could see how the foolish man in the parable took the easy option. He didn't take the effort to dig down to the bedrock. Didn't make the effort to ensure long-term stability. Jesus is showing people that building their lives upon shallow teaching, such as that of the Pharisees, rather than choosing to build upon the foundation of their life, upon his words, is a foolish enterprise. If your life is built upon a shallow foundation, when the hard times come, it's easy for everything to be washed away. Instability will be seen as cracks appear and water comes up through the floor. Wise builders will instead choose Jesus' way. Jesus' way will be harder. You have to dig deep. However, with a life built upon the foundation of Jesus' teaching, particularly in the Sermon on the Mount, you can survive the hard times of life. They'll still be hard, but you can come out the other side upright. Jesus invites people to build their lives upon the bedrock of his teaching. A wise person will know that. He or she has carefully looked to where they're building their life, and that will see that Jesus is the only secure truth. The wise person looks ahead from the sunny day to the winter storms and builds his or her life prepared for that time. And we too need to choose to build our lives on a sure foundation. Gates, prophets, disciples and builders. 4 illustrations to call disciples to faithful living in the light of the Sermon on the Mount. To heed the call to be salt and light. To move beyond anger, lust, lying, revenge. To love your enemies, to not put faith in money and possessions, to choose not to judge others, to do to others what you'd have them do to you. In John's Gospel, after teaching the disciples and would-be disciples, we have these words. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. We have a choice of turning away or turning to Jesus and following the words of eternal life he has offered us. We just need to make that choice. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the words of the Sermon on the Mount. And we thank you that they are a firm foundation upon which we can build our lives. But Lord, we pray that they are a living foundation. Words that will not just be left on the page of a book, but words that will grow in us, grow through us. Establish a life that is firmly rooted in your kingdom. Come through your Spirit and make them a living reality, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.